You know, I was going to tell you a joke, but, and see, that is exactly the reason why. Even when I warn you ahead of time, you don't wait till the end of the joke, you start moaning. So you know what? I'm not going to tell you a joke. Well, but I will tell you this. The other day, there's a knock on the door, and I open it, and they said, "Hey, we're from the Community Recreation Council, and we're going to be putting up a swimming pool down here at the local park, and wondered if you would like to make a donation." I said, "Sure, no problem." So I gave him a glass of water. Okay. Well, this morning, we began taking a look at, well, the title of the message is The Impact of Praying in Tongues. But we started back with the fact that when you look in Scripture, we looked at, you don't have to turn to these, but in Acts chapter 4, Romans chapter 10, we see that the only way we can be born again is if we put our faith in Jesus and call upon Him. That's it. The Bible does not say anything about call upon the Holy Spirit or call upon the Father, but call upon Jesus. Now, you know, somebody might say, well, what about, you know, these deathbed confessions where somebody says, "Oh God, I'm so sorry, please forgive me." God's going to honor that. God will honor that. But God gave Jesus to be the sacrifice for our sins. He didn't give the Holy Spirit to be the sacrifice for our sins. And John the Baptist even prophesied. He said, "Look, there's one who's coming after me. He's mightier than I. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire." So what we see then is even John the Baptist had this incredible revelation that Jesus Christ would be the one to baptize us in the Holy Spirit. Well, that brings up a question, you know, why in the world did God give the Holy Spirit? Because if Jesus is all I need to get born again, and the Holy Spirit, now He was around before the day of Pentecost. You know, He was around even back throughout the Old Testament. It's just that nobody was born again, and nobody was, you know, a spiritual vessel habitable for the Holy Spirit. But when we get over into, and you don't have to turn to this either, but we get into John chapter 14 and John chapter 16 and 1 John chapter 2, we see how that the Holy Spirit has been given for a reason. So if we think of it like this, and just another way to think of it, Jesus ministered for 3.5 years, and He said, "Okay, I got to finish my work here. Then I'm going back to the Father. But you won't be left alone. The Father's going to send the Spirit of Truth, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. He's going to send the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will kind of pick up where I left off. Now, I've spent time with you externally. The Holy Spirit, He'll be in you." So we see that Jesus is the one who died for our sins. We accept Him as Lord and Savior. We're born again. But then Jesus, and again, you know, to kind of present an image, He says, "Okay, now that you're born again, I have something I'd like to give you. I would like to give you the Holy Spirit. I would like to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Would you like to receive this power? Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." Jesus didn't say you'll receive power after that you're born again. He said you'll receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And so He says, "Would you like to have this?" Well, a lot of people don't. And if they really understood it, they would. But it's a lack of understanding that has people saying, "Oh, I don't know about all this. Oh, this Holy Ghost stuff, I don't know." Well, once you understand that it is a gift, then, I mean, logic just seems to dictate that you would say, "Well, Jesus, I do want this. So please baptize me with the Holy Spirit." And then that brings up the question, you know, well, okay, what's the Holy Spirit going to do? I mean, I understand the aspect of the power. But what we saw in the Word of God, or what is revealed in the Word of God, is that the first work of power from within the individual is the speaking of tongues. Now, that's the first thing that we see in Scripture. A lot of people I've heard argue about that. Well, argue all you want. I mean, I'm not trying to stir things up. This is what we see in the Word of God here, guys. You know, the day of Pentecost. Sure, cloven tongues of fire, rushing mighty wind. Okay, but that was all external. The first work of power demonstrated from within the individual was not the laying on of hands. It was not walking on water. No, it was none of these things, except it was speaking in a language, in tongues, as God mentioned, as Jesus, you know, as what is revealed here in Scripture. But then you get over into Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 19. And what you find is that the initial work of that power from within the individual is the speaking of tongues. There's no way to get around that. Now, is it possible to choke that power off or to stifle that speaking forth in tongues? Well, sure it is. You know, as far as I can tell, you're all doing it right now, every single one of you. However, that gift, that miracle gift that the Holy Spirit gave you is there. And you can tap into it anytime that you want. Now, obviously, you can't just speak in tongues for interpretation anytime you want, but as far as praying in the Spirit, yes, you can. You can do that anytime that you desire. So that gift is resident within the believer, but, you know, okay, tongues, but why? Why tongues? Well, first off, we looked in Romans chapter 8. In fact, you can go ahead and turn over to 1 Corinthians 14. We looked at Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. First two reasons or purposes for tongues has to do with overcoming infirmities or anything in my life that does not line up with the character of Christ. I mean, that's just a simple way of putting it. And the second one is to pray the perfect will of God. Then we looked over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 through 14. And we saw reasons 3 through 7 for tongues. The third reason was to search the deep things of God. The fourth was to know what God has freely given us. The fifth, tapping into the wisdom of God. The sixth, comparing the spiritual things of God with our present level of spiritual maturity. And the seventh, to develop spiritual discernment. Okay, that is where we ended this morning. So to continue forth, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. So we see here that when I am praying in tongues, I'm not in communication with a human being. I am in direct communication with God. He says he speaks not unto men, but unto God. So from a spiritual perspective, my spirit, my born-again spirit, is having a conversation with God. And nobody else understands. I don't even understand. And some people have argued, well, if you don't understand, then what good is it? Well, again, you're talking about the human mind trying to dissect, comprehend, and understand a supernatural act. You know, you can't even explain born again. How does God put a new nature on the inside of a person? How does that happen? You can't explain that, but you accept it. And I find it interesting how that some things, a lot of Christians, they just accept. But then other things, no, you know, you go up there to the board and you write out the formula and you show me or else I'm not going to believe. Well, you know what? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. So, you know, if you're going to walk by faith and not by sight, you don't need a formula. If it's in the Word of God, you just go with it. That you don't have to fully understand it. In fact, you know, there's a song, We'll Understand It Better By and By. And the impression is, everything that we don't know here on earth, we will clearly understand when we're in heaven. Well, you know what? I'm not too concerned about that. When I get to heaven, I don't need some, you know, angel with a doctorate to stand up at a board and explain to me the heavenly formula for tongues. I don't need that. The heavenly formula for born again. I don't need that. You know, I am born again, okay? Now, if God wants to send me to school when I'm up there, fine. I'll be there for a long time. So I can go to class. I'm okay with that. I'll guarantee you this, if there are classes, you won't get bored. You'll stay awake. But nevertheless, here we see in 1 Corinthians 14:2, reason number 8 for tongues is so that I can speak directly to God on a spiritual level. Now, I can speak to God out of my understanding. I know that. However, if there were not a need for me to have direct spiritual communication with God that bypasses my understanding, it would not be here. It wouldn't be here. So there is a need for this. And along with that is, I will be praying out mysteries. You say, what mysteries? Well, you know, that's a pretty big category. It's the mysteries of everything I need to know about being born again. Everything about who I've become in Christ. Everything about who Christ is to me. Everything about being a citizen of the kingdom. Everything about being forgiven. Everything about the cleansing work of the blood of Jesus. Everything about Jesus being my high priest. Everything about the gifts of the Spirit. I mean, on and on we could go. Everything about passages of Scripture that I don't understand. Because all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for correction, reproof, instruction in righteousness, and so forth, so that the man of God is thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So therefore, I need to understand Scripture. Well, since the Holy Spirit was involved in, quote, dictating Scripture, then the Holy Spirit is capable of explaining to me the mysteries of what I don't understand in Scripture. So yeah, I need to pray in tongues. Okay, think of it like this. There's so much goofy, wacky doctrine out there. Do you really think that God did not know ahead of time this situation was going to exist? The longer we live, the more denominations pop up. The longer we live, the more churches pop up. I mean, on and on it goes. And this is one of the reasons why God did give the Holy Spirit, is to try to help keep us focused. Try to keep us on the right path. Well, I need to pray out these mysteries. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. Now, the word prophesieth, that's not simply, yeah, in 3 days this shall happen. No. Prophesieth means speaking forth the mind of Christ for a given situation. And so he says here in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4, we see a revelation of the 10th reason for tongues, which is spiritual edification. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. So the question is, do you want to be edified? Well, yeah, I do. Okay, well, pray in tongues. Well, now, Brother Martin, I don't believe in that. I believe I can get just as edified by reading my Bible. Well, there is a type of edification that comes with reading the Bible. That's recorded over in, I think it's Acts 20, verse 32. So, yeah, there is an edification that comes through just reading your Bible. And there's also an edification that comes by hearing a sermon that is genuinely based on Scripture. There is a type of edification that comes from that. However, if I could get all of the edification that I need by all these other means, he would not have said, pray in tongues and edify yourself. He wouldn't have said that. So there is an edification, a spiritual edification that comes from praying in tongues that I cannot get any other way. Very simple. All right? 1 Corinthians 14, verse 6. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine? Now, I don't have time tonight to go through the entire 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians. But here's what he's talking about. And once I tell you this, you'll be able to go back and read the entire chapter and you'll see it. Now, he already said in verse 2 that when we pray in tongues, you know, we're talking to God and we're praying out the mysteries. In verse 4, we're edifying ourselves. And then he says, he that prophesieth edifieth the church. Well, in verse 6, let me kind of paraphrase it. Brethren, if I come to you spending a lot of time praying in tongues, how in the world do I profit you? Or how in the world can you benefit at all unless I deliver unto you, speak unto you, revelation, knowledge, prophesying, or doctrine? In other words, as I'm praying in tongues, reason number 14, reason number 11, I'm receiving revelation. As I'm praying in tongues, number 12, I'm receiving knowledge. As I'm praying in tongues, I'm receiving, number 13, prophesying. As I'm praying in tongues, I am receiving, number 14, doctrine. So, brethren, how in the world do you benefit from all of my edification unless I turn around and deliver unto you, in a language you can understand, what the praying in tongues has produced in me? Now, that is what is supposed to be going on for all sermons. I pray in tongues. I don't get any more scripture, but I do get an understanding of doctrine. The doctrine that God has laid out in the New Testament. Doctrine is the sum total of what we're supposed to live by as Christians. So I understand more and more about doctrine, about scripture. He gives me revelation. He gives me knowledge. He gives me, you know, the eyes of my understanding are enlightened, and so on and so forth. So then what I do is I turn around and I teach you out of the edification that has come to me through praying in tongues. This is, all sermons should have this foundation. Look, if this is what the apostle Paul was supposed to do and knew that he needed to do in order to deliver unto people what he was supposed to teach them, gee whiz, guys, I should see myself as needing to do the same thing. I need to pray in tongues so that I can stand up and deliver unto you. I mean, let me paraphrase this. Now, Grace Christian Center, if I spend a whole bunch of time praying in tongues, how in the world does that benefit you at all unless I deliver unto you the revelation or the knowledge or the prophesying or the doctrine that has been given to me by the Holy Spirit? See what I mean? Well, the same thing is true for all of you as well. Because in other places, we have a responsibility to, quote, edify each other. And that's supposed to come out of our level, our increasing level of spiritual maturity, which would include praying in the Spirit, our increasing level of personal edification. And you know, the sad thing is, a lot of churches don't believe this. In fact, there are some churches, if they found out their pastor prayed in tongues, they would fire him. Okay, let me get this straight. You have a guy who's seeking the heart of God. He's engaged in direct communication with God, praying out the mysteries. He's getting revelation, knowledge, etc., and so forth. And you're going to fire him because he's teaching you what God has taught him. And you don't want that. So what do you want? You want some guy to come into your church who's going to, you know, go online and order, you know, 52 sermons for whatever it is, the year. Or here's what a lot of pastors, you know, I mean, trade notes, trade sermon notes. Now, there's nothing wrong with taking a sermon somebody else has preached if it is truth and then teaching it to people, because basically that's what I'm doing tonight. I'm delivering unto you what the Apostle Paul's already delivered unto a bunch of people. So it's not plagiarism. However, when looking for other people's notes is your source, why do you think some of these study Bibles are so popular? It's because they have, you know, big-time brother evangelists' sermon notes in the front or the back. And so all I have to do is study that out, and then I can preach that message. Now, that's not necessarily, you know, that's not totally wrong, because the Holy Spirit could tell a preacher, look at those notes. There's something I want you to see. I agree with that. But when that is all you do, all right, now we have an issue. There's something wrong, and it shouldn't be like that. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 14. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. My spirit is praying. When I pray in tongues, reason number 14 for praying in tongues, or reason number 15, I will get these right sooner or later. Honestly, the numbers are correct on my little note thing here. Reason number 15 for praying in tongues, my spirit is praying. Will you let that one sink in? When you pray in tongues, your spirit is praying. It is bypassing your limited thinking human mind. Your spirit is borrowing your natural lungs, lips, tongue, and producing the perfect prayer, the most intimate type of communication with God that you can have. Your spirit is praying. And see, some people would say, well, I don't have, you know, hours every day to pray in tongues. Okay, well, most people don't. Well, you know, you make it sound like that we've got to. I do not. That's conviction right there. I'm not making it sound like you have to spend hours. You know what you can do? Seriously? I mean, a lot of Christians are going to find it hard to turn off the television, okay? So, let's make this transition easy. Go ahead, watch your TV. Pray in tongues while you do it. Pray in tongues while you do it.
If I do that, I won't be able to hear the TV.
Okay. Just kind of turn the TV up and just sort of whisper the prayer. Okay? Well, Brother Martin, how in the world is that going to do me any good? I mean, that's because your spirit doesn't care who marries whom. And your spirit doesn't care who wins the game. That's all emotion. So as you're praying in tongues, you know, the Holy Spirit is having a really good time with your spirit. And you're praying in tongues. And if it's a football game, and I've done this before, you know, a three-hour football game. I spend 3 hours praying in tongues, watching a football game. You say, well, does that do you any good? Yeah, it does. Because after, you know, a few years of doing that, I now don't want to watch as much football as I used to. And I didn't have to fight the flesh to do it. I rose above that infirmity. And now, does that mean I don't watch any? Doesn't mean that at all. But at this point in my life, I truly believe I have found that moderation point. That's right for me. Now, as time goes on, that may change. And that's okay. I'm all right with that. So, yeah, when you're driving, pray in the Spirit. When you're doing the dishes, doing the laundry, you know, just whatever. Now, it might be kind of hard to, you know, if you're cutting the grass, because if you're doing a push mower and it's hot and you start, you know, running out of breath, old people do that, you know. You understand what I mean? So it might be kind of hard, but just, you know, you guys understand exactly what I'm talking about. You can redeem the time and pray in the Spirit. Your spirit is praying. Your spirit is praying. I mean, that's just amazing. Your understanding is unfruitful. Totally unfruitful. But your spirit is praying. So here you are watching the football game, getting mad at every fumble, and your spirit is being edified. You are growing and maturing in God. That is incredible. All right, 1 Corinthians 14 verses. Now this one's interesting, 15 and 16. What is it then? Well, I'll tell you what it is. I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Else, when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say, Amen, at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? So he's saying, now this obviously has to do with a congregational setting, but it's still true when you're alone. He's saying, in a congregational setting, I'll pray with the understanding and I'll pray in tongues. I will sing with the understanding and I will sing in tongues. And he says, the reason I'm going to do both is so the person next to me, if they don't understand this, they're not filled with the Holy Ghost, they will understand what I'm doing. I'm praying or I am singing. And this is the 16th reason for praying in tongues, but this is kind of like a little asterisk beside it. It's singing. Singing in the Spirit, because when I do that, I am blessing with the Spirit. That's what it says, verse 16. Else, when thou shalt bless with the Spirit. When I'm singing in tongues, I am blessing God. Now, there's a whole lot about worship that we still don't fully understand. I've taught so much on it, but there's still even more that we don't fully understand that if we did, we would do it more. And there are people who are part of this congregation. The Lord has mentioned this in the past, and he brought it to my attention here recently that some of you, maybe you're here, maybe you're not here, going to hear it after the fact, but people who attend this church, you have allowed your worship to slip. And you're not putting forth the diligence in your worship. You might just be going through the motions, or you might not be doing it at all. And you're missing out on what God can do for you, in you, and through you, through worship. And here we see that singing in tongues enables me, one thing to do is to bless with my spirit. So I am, out of my spirit, blessing God. I'm blessing God as I sing in tongues. Now, granted, there are other benefits to praying or to singing in tongues that, you know, we're not going to get into today. But when I sing in tongues, okay, once again, if the apostle, okay, let's back up even further. From whom did the apostle Paul receive the revelation of what he has written down? All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Okay, this right here is part of the doctrine for what you would call a New Testament church. Singing in tongues. And the apostle Paul received this revelation from God. Now, whether it was during that time he was caught up into the third heaven and received instruction from Jesus, or regardless, okay? The bottom line is, Paul did not know this until it was revealed to him. And out of this revelation he received, he in turn is teaching us. And when he talks about, I will sing with the Spirit, that means that there is a purpose for us to sing in tongues. There is a purpose for it. Part of that purpose is identified as blessing with the Spirit. So I'm worshiping. You know, in the Old Testament, it talks about, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. With my hands lifted up and my mouth filled with praise, with a voice of thanksgiving, I will bless thee, O Lord. Okay, here we see that when I sing in tongues, I am blessing with my spirit. So there is a reason for this. Singing with the Spirit and singing with the understanding are both an instruction of grace as doctrine for the New Testament church. Well, a lot of people don't believe this. Spirit-filled people who they will occasionally speak in tongues, especially the ones that, you know, you have to have the unction. But when it comes to singing in the Spirit, listen, You may not be aware of this, but there are a lot of people out there born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, and they attend churches that believe in all of that and believe in tongues. But they'll tell you, to kind of paraphrase what they'll say, if you try praying in tongues or singing in tongues whenever you feel like, that's blasphemy. That's blasphemy. And so there are a lot of people out there afraid to do this because they think they're going to blaspheme the Holy Spirit and go to hell. Okay, now wait a minute. If I see this in here, it is impossible for me to do what God has revealed and then end up going to hell for it. I mean, if this is true, then you know what? The Apostle Paul, he's in hell. Because he said, verse 15, the way this is written, it is a declaration of personal intent, not supernatural, goosebumpy unction. And Paul says, I will make the decision that I will pray with the understanding, and I'll make the decision, I'll pray in tongues whenever I feel like it. I've made the decision that I will sing with the understanding, and I'll make the decision to sing in tongues whenever I feel like it. Meaning, I don't need the Holy Spirit to whap me on the back of the head. I don't need to feel goosebumps. I don't need to feel warm oil. I don't need to feel the hoochie-goochies and all that. I don't need to feel any of this. I just make the decision and I'll do that. Okay, that is one of the benefits of this gift of tongues, is that we can do this whenever we choose to do it. And so therefore, singing in the Spirit, that's the worshiping, blessing. This is the 16th reason for tongues. Why wouldn't you want to? It's interesting how that there have been times when we have had, everybody's worshiping the Lord, praising you, Jesus, glory, glory to you, Jesus. And then we kind of start moving in that direction of singing in tongues. And so many people just hush, just stop, stop. Why? I mean, if it's scriptural, why wouldn't you want to do it? And if you are getting those benefits of tongues, why wouldn't you want to do it? And I'm mystified by that, because this is a church where such a thing is encouraged, it is welcomed, it is, you know, approved. It's okay. You can do it. Nobody's going to ask you to leave. It's all right. You see what I mean? And I don't understand why some people just begin to shut down. Well, you need to get over yourself. Not trying to be mean to you. I'm just not. See, I had to get over me, because I was uncomfortable with this. But I made the decision, I'm going to de-uncomfortable myself. And I made myself comfortable with it. And the only way you can do that is to do it. You just do it. And it's not complicated. And I'm not trying to drag anybody down with this. I'm trying to encourage you. If you're uncomfortable singing in tongues, I mean, you can worship the Lord, sing and all this stuff. But when it comes to the tongues and you're uncomfortable doing that, okay, that is a stronghold. That is an infirmity. And it needs to be whooped. For your personal benefit. For your benefit. Okay, in Jude chapter 1, not Jude chapter 2. If your Bible has a Jude chapter 2, you are in trouble. Okay, Jude 1, verse 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Okay, reason number 17 for praying in tongues, I build myself up on my most holy faith. I build myself up on my most holy faith. We're supposed to walk by faith, walk by sight. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I build myself up on my most holy faith, praying in tongues. Okay, why wouldn't I want to be built up on my most holy faith? Why would I not want this to happen in my life? A lot of Christians talk about Well, I do have faith. Well, I'm not going to doubt that. I mean, yeah, you do. Of course you do. If you're born again, you obviously have faith because you started off by putting it in Jesus. Well, you do have faith. Let me present this from a kind of an abstract image, okay? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So, I keep hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. Faith comes, faith comes, faith comes. Okay, so now I have this, you know, this 6 foot high building block of faith. But I'm down here. Now I'm trying to live by something that I'm not built up on. You understand this? As I pray in tongues, I am edified up to my most holy faith. See this? Now, I'm presenting it that way to try to give us an image that we can relate to. If God says praying in tongues causes us to be built up on our most holy faith, I need to be praying in tongues. Because I need to be built up on my most holy faith. The 18th reason for praying in tongues is that I keep myself in the love of God. That word keep, see, God loves everybody, doesn't matter who you are. For God so loved the world, gave his only begotten Son. So lost or saved, you know, atheist or God-fearing, God loves you. And the Bible talks about, you know, over in Romans, a couple of other places, talks about how no matter what you do, you cannot get away from the love of God. It's always there. So I know that. Where it says, I keep myself in the love of God, it's talking about I keep myself established in His love. I keep myself positioned in His love. I keep myself aware of His love. I keep myself sensitive to His love. Are you getting the image, what I'm saying here? So when I'm praying in tongues, I keep myself in the love of God. It's not just that He loves me, but it's that I become more aware of it. And to say it maybe even a little bit differently, praying in tongues keeps me in the swimming pool of God's love. See, I can go to the swimming pool and stand there. I'm going to have my trunks on and everything. And just stand there and look at the water. And then when the day is over and I go home and people say, well, what'd you do all day? I said, well, I went to the swimming pool. Now, what do they assume? That I went in. But when they see, you know, my perfectly coiffed hair, say, what kind of hairspray do you use, man? It didn't move. So see, I can go to the pool and just stand there and look at it. And I did. I went. I was there at the pool. I have my membership and everything. But I didn't get in. Well, I'm born again. And I'm standing there at the pool of God's love. But when I start praying in tongues, kersplash, I keep myself in the love of God. Now that may not be the best way to present it, but this is revealing to us that praying in tongues creates an atmosphere of God's love in our life that doesn't happen if I don't pray in tongues. Said a little bit differently, praying in tongues enables me to encounter God's love in a unique way. If I don't pray in tongues, I cannot experience that aspect of God's love that comes from praying in tongues. I hope that makes sense. Now, between this morning and tonight, I've given you 18 reasons that the Holy Spirit has given or made available to the body of Christ the gift of tongues. 18 reasons. Now, there are other reasons that we could have identified. For example, when Jesus was talking about the Holy Spirit, and He said, well, He'll teach you all things, He'll guide you into all truth, and so forth. See, I could have included that, and I would have been correct in doing so, except He did not use the word tongues in that verse. Do you understand what I mean by that? And what I've done this morning and tonight was try to restrict what we read to passages specifically identifying tongues. So there are more benefits to praying in tongues than what we've studied. But see, the message this morning and the message tonight, for some of you, you may be thinking, well, yeah, I already understood that. I know these things. And, I do pray in tongues. Well, you know what? Glory to God, I'm glad you do. However, when somebody asks you, well, why should I pray in tongues? All you have to do is ask them, would you be willing to listen to a couple of sermons? Because our pastor goes through Scripture and identifies it. Better still, create your own little notes and just keep them in your purse, keep them in your wallet, your Bible somewhere, whatever. If somebody asks you, just ask them, may I show you from Scripture the reasons? Don't just say, well, you know, I think, no, just ask them, may I show you from Scripture why? And just walk them through like I did you. Obviously, you won't be taking the time that I did, but you now have a valuable resource for carrying on a scripturally based, intelligent conversation about why pray in tongues. And for us, hopefully, between this morning and tonight, we have been motivated to spend time praying in tongues.